Yes, a republic hearing, a conditional use in the 1792 to listen to new, some of the information we received after the testimony was closed. We'll let Rick Burrow, which is the subbing for Jim, the rest of the evening, take over the public hearing and explain to everybody how the game runs.
Explain?
Explain.
Explain.
Somebody here to speak English.
These are the council's general rules for public hearings. The applicant will be called on to present and explain the application and present reasons supporting the application. Council may question the applicant as well as any of the witnesses. Once the applicant has presented the application, the council will provide an opportunity for anyone else who favors the application to speak. After that, any persons who are present and oppose or question the application will be allowed to state the reasons for the opposition or questions. After that, there will be no rebuttal by the applicant, and the hearing is closed unless council decides to leave the record open for a specific purpose and time period. Further, the applicant will not be allowed to question persons who speak in opposition, and persons who speak in opposition will not be allowed to question the applicant or any of the witnesses. If you intend to speak, we do ask that you come to the front and stand at the speaker stand, state your name and home address before you make any statements. If you represent or speak for a group or organization, please identify who you represent. When you make your statement, please be concise, try not to be repetitive, and if you have a written statement, be sure to hand it forward and it will be made part of the record. If there's more than one witness for the applicant or more than one person in opposition, please try not to repeat points that a prior speaker has already stated. All persons in attendance should conduct themselves in an orderly fashion. No applause or other disruptive behavior is permitted, and if you have a cell phone, pager, beeper, or other telephonic device with you, please take time now to turn that off or switch it into a silent mode. And at the conclusion of the hearing on each application, council may either approve, deny, or defer to a later date. If P&Z has deferred action, council will do likewise. And for this hearing, please be aware that this is the second public hearing on conditional use 1792. The primary purpose of the hearing is to make it possible for council to consider the additional correspondence and comments that were submitted after the public record on the first hearing was closed. By reopening the hearing, it will allow the applicant to submit information regarding any revisions to the application or the design of the proposed facility. It will also allow the public comment on any revisions to the application. Please understand that it's not necessary to repeat comments you made at the first hearing. And since this is a public hearing, anyone wishing to speak will be given a chance to do so. All right, Mr. Schrader.
Mr. Burrow, one clarification there. The hearing is only on what information was put in the record as of November the 18th?
I think anyone who wishes to comment on any aspect of the application may do so.
Okay.
I think
Right. Everybody
just needs to understand that the council has already heard this on one instance and has heard objections, comments, whatever.
Instructions more or should be more to the applicant, not to do the whole application again. We're just looking at the...
We're looking at the reverse.
You do understand that?
Revision.
No, the concern was the public didn't get notified properly, right. And they wanted no chance.
Mr. Cole, we understand.
Good.
Thank you, Dennis.
They might have to ask you to leave if you didn't.
Okay.
All right, Mr. Schrader, I know you represent the applicant, and maybe you could begin by bringing the council current regarding the application and any changes that have been made.
Would you like to maybe introduce the record first?
Sure.
Go ahead, Lawrence.
All right, Lawrence, why don't you introduce the record first?
The council had before it a packet of information. It's the commissioner's report, and it includes a copy of the commissioner's report for their public hearing on June 26th of 2008. It also has provided a copy of the council's public hearing on July 22nd. And the discussion this evening, or the public hearing, is for conditional use 1792, the application of Tidewater Environmental Services Incorporated to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for a regional wastewater collection, treatment, and disposal facility to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Indian River Hundred, Sussex County, from parcels containing 320.21 acres, more or less, lying on both sides of Route 24, also known as John J. Williams Highway, southeast of Road 277 being Robinsonville Road, both sides of Road 298, which would be Joylands Way, and both sides of Road 279, which is Camp Arrowhead Road. And as I said, the commission's packet is before all the council members. It includes a commission's record. It includes the council record of the July 22nd, 08. It also includes On this application, nothing. And for the benefit of the council, I passed down copies of two letters from Bonnie M. Benson, attorney at law, on behalf of some of the opposition. Lewis Fire Department Incorporated, the Rehoboth Beach Volunteer Fire Company Incorporated, Gary Hayden on behalf of the Midway Baptist Church, and also a Bree Millman is all provided for council. That's all I have until you have questions.
Questions, gentlemen?
Play ball.
Nope. Rick, you got Dennis?
Thank you, gentlemen. By way of introduction, my name is Dennis Schrader, and I represent Tidewater Environmental Services, Inc., with reference to conditional use number 1792. I have with me this evening Bruce Patrick, who is the Vice President of Tidewater Environmental Services. I also have with me Frank Key, who is a consultant for Tidewater, Lee Beechin, who is an engineer with CABE Associates, Steve Lewandowski, and an engineer with CABE Associates, Tom Dwyer from Eastern Geosciences, Inc., and Lisa Woods from Terra Firma Consulting, Inc. I do not propose, Mr. Cole, to have all of them testify, only Mr. Beechin, but on occasion, questions do arise which may require some expert testimony, and so out of an abundance of caution, we have them here this evening. The book that's in front of you is a revision to the book. The last book that you may have seen was when we had our last public hearing in this case. This book has been revised for a number of purposes, and I will begin by explaining to you why those revisions were necessary. As a result of the last public hearing that was conducted in this chamber, there were a number of inquiries made by people either claiming not to have received adequate notice or in the alternative feeling like they had some comments that they wanted to make. And as a result of that, Tidewater determined that it was in the best interest of the process to meet with some of these residents. They met with the two fire companies to address any concerns they might have. They met with the residents of the Willows to address any concerns they might have. There was an opportunity for people to visit a wastewater treatment plant operated by Tidewater in order to make a more informed decision as to whether or not people were opposed or in favor of this particular application. As a result of the meetings and the input of the citizenry that was informally received, you have now four letters in front of you addressing people who have no objection to the particular application if, in fact, the wastewater treatment facility is moved from a location that was previously adjacent to the combined Rehoboth Beach Lewis Volunteer Fire Company to an area that is located closer to where the treatment plant is. And so for that reason, the material that is contained in the exhibit book this evening has been revised for the purposes of showing you where that new location is. It will also have a section which will indicate to you that the removal of the wastewater treatment plant from one or the disposal area to another location will still result in this project being in compliance with the applicable comprehensive land use plan, which would be the 03, and it actually is in compliance with the 08 plan. I've also revised the findings in order to provide you with new information relating to the relocation and asking you to allow where the prior site was to be used for spray irrigation. One of the concerns that's been addressed by Rick, and I addressed in a letter that was sent to Mr. Griffin, thinking that Mr. Griffin would be participating this evening, was my concern about a limitation on the testimony. Mr. Burrell has addressed that, but I do want to repeat, as we have pointed out, there is a concern that there will be a repetition of all the prior testimony or the prior science issues or technological issues that are not part of this application, although I have people here to answer those questions. The other thing that is concerned, there may be other persons present who wish to bring matters before the council that are either not relevant or not material to this particular application. I am aware that there is at least one person present who wishes to be removed from the service area, but the service area is controlled by a certificate of public convenience and necessity issued by the Public Service Commission. It is not a matter that can be brought before this body because you don't have that authority. That's somebody else's jurisdiction, and the parties that want to bring that information to you are involved in litigation. I'm pretty sure you fellows don't want to get involved in deciding any litigation issues. We're here tonight to talk about this particular site and the movement of a portion of our prior application to another location within the same site that we previously presented to you. So what I'd like to do tonight in order to keep this as tight as possible is to introduce Bruce Patrick. You've heard from him before, and he's going to talk about the treatment and disposal site, how it got to be from one place to another, and why this new site is suitable for this particular location. And I'll have Bruce come up.
Thanks, sir.
Good evening, Councilman. I'm Bruce Patrick, Vice President of Engineering with Tidewater Environmental Services, and first I'd like to thank you for the opportunity to discuss our project. And I will be brief, just touching on the change. Just brief background, I'm a registered professional engineer with 17 years experience in the water and wastewater industry, the design, permitting, construction management, essentially utility management. Tidewater Environmental Services is a regulated wastewater utility that operates under the realm of the Public Service Commission and DENREC. Essentially, the Public Service Commission oversees us for tariff, for the fees that we charge. As Dennis pointed out, for franchise areas, the areas that we're permitted to serve in, and the service that we provide. DENREC oversees us for the construction and the operation of the facilities to make sure we're in environmental compliance. A brief background on the changes and so forth. We actually had several meetings since the previous hearing. We actually took several residents of the Willows on a tour of one of our close-by MBR facilities as well as a storage pond. The main concern certainly from those folks were was the location of the facility, the MBR, as well as the lagoon, the storage pond. We had additional meetings as referenced by Dennis at the firehouse on Route 24 with several residents of the Willows and the folks along Robinsonville Road, as well as several representatives of the fire company to listen to their comments. And again, the same concern, you know, the proximity of the treatment plant and the clean water storage pond. So in addition to that, there were meetings held with representatives of the fire company by Frank Key. So we heard their concerns, we realized what they were, and we actually moved them. If we can refer to the site plan, the original location of the treatment facility was on the north side of Route 24 in the wooded area adjacent to the firehouse, and the storage lagoon was in the agricultural area. As you can see, they've been removed. Those areas will remain agriculture and woods and could be used for spray irrigation in the future. So they'll remain. The shift has been that if you refer to the south side of Jollins Road, the south side of Route 24, the plant has actually been relocated, and it's nestled within that wooded area. And the clean water storage pond has also been relocated just east of the rapid infiltration basins. There's been no changes. The lagoon, the storage pond is actually the same volume. The soils were looked at. The soils are good. They're suitable for this purpose. We're actually able to go a little deeper with the lagoon. So it's the same volume, but we could go a little deeper so it takes up less area. So essentially, we just picked up what was proposed on the north side and moved it over here where we feel that it's slightly more secluded, blends in naturally with the area. Again, no technical problems with the move. The soils are okay. The same facility as before, treats to a very high standard. Just heard the concerns and moved it.
Thank you, Bruce. Gentlemen, I'd like to ask Lee Beechen to come to the podium, and he is going to discuss with you the suitability of the site, the disposal and the treatment effects of moving this from one location to another location. Lee, I think, is known to you as a professional engineer with Cave Associates who periodically has worked in the area of wastewater treatment and disposal. Probably for what?
Forever.
Yeah.
I've been doing this for 44 years, and at one time I was the manager of water resources for the Department of Natural Resources, so I was responsible for all forms of water pollution control. Since then, moved on to the consulting side of the business, which is where I really started out in the Midwest. I don't know if you're aware of the buzz that's been created by an article that was in the News Journal here recently about rapid infiltration bases and the possibility of them being the sources of pollution. I know Molly Murray in the article was well written, but it wasn't well balanced. And the Cape Gazette came out with an article today which provides the balance, because what was left out of Molly's article was the treatment side of the issue. Rapid infiltration basins, which we're going to use, spray irrigation, which we're going to use, which is what the county uses, are just methods of getting treated wastewater back into the hydrologic cycle. So we have to have evaporation, rainfall. That's the hydrologic cycle. They're in the same category as drip irrigation, injection wells, surface water discharge pipes. They all are a method to get treated wastewater back into the environment. There really hasn't been much changed in the century that these technologies have been used, although injection wells are a more recent type of use for getting wastewater back in the ground, treated wastewater. But on the treatment side, just in my brief career, it's been light years an improvement in what you can do. And the Department of Natural Resources has taken advantage of that for the inland bays in setting very restrictive limits for what can be discharged to the land. Regardless of how you do it, you're limited to 5 milligrams per liter total nitrogen. And the plant that we designed for this facility beats that by 40%. So when all the buzz started about pollution, everybody was missing the treatment side of the issue. And that was brought into focus by the article in the Cape Gazette today, and I'd like to quote from that. This is what Scott Andrews added to the picture in today's Gazette. Additional treatment for pathogens and nutrients before water is applied to the ground will serve to minimize risk. And that additional treatment is exactly what this project is to provide. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any questions?
If you'll permit me, Mr. Burrell, I do have one question. As I read the article, Mr. Beechin, it indicated that 10 milligrams per liter was the standard established by the federal government for the discharge of wastewater, that Mr. Graber and Mr. Andrews were looking to establish a standard of 5. Can you tell me what the treatment standard would be for this plant as it's designed?
10 milligrams per liter has been a drinking water standard, but that's for nitrate, not total nitrogen. That's been around since I was a boy. You know, that was created back in the 60s. 5 milligrams per liter is the existing standard passed as a regulation by DENREC with the pollution control strategy in November of this year. This plant will produce 3 milligrams per liter. So, does that answer your question, Dennis?
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Gentlemen, I have these people available for questioning. If not, I'm going to present some closing comments.
Okay.
I'm fine.
Dennis, we got your rewritten conditions. I know you picked up a lot of the old ones from the previous, of course, hearing. In those conditions, do you have what you're showing us right here?
Yes.
There.
Yes, and they are contained in the book that you have in front of you.
Okay, and on what tab?
A tab called Findings of Fact and Conclusions, Mr. Jones.
It's not my job. My job, you tell me.
No, that's what it's called.
Oh, okay.
It's right before Exhibit A.
Right before where?
Exhibit A. I'll be glad to come up and help you.
I don't know if I want that to happen. Oh, I got it.
This tab.
That didn't cost anything either.
Tab number 5.
Tab number 5. Okay.
Count them.
That way council can look at those and make sure. Because the whole issue here, as you said earlier, is relocation of certain parts of the application.
Correct.
Okay. Any questions, gentlemen? No. Great.
There you go.
Gentlemen, what you have before you is an application that was modified in order to respond to the concerns of the people who reside in the area or the volunteer fire companies or others who would have contact with the wastewater treatment plant. You have letters of no objections that have been presented to you by the fire companies and at least a portion of the people who are in the Willows and by a Dr. Furtado concerning the relocation of this plant. As has been discussed by us, there is no significant scientific difference between this location and the location that was previously proposed to you. It is more out of sight and will result in a different view from Route 24 than was previously going to take place. As I pointed out to you in the first hearing, what this actually does is take 320 acres. It makes it available for approximately 3,700 EDUs with about 400 in reserve that will be available to serve areas that are already certificated. The certifications are already identified in the book, and there's been no change to the status of that. The benefit is that there'll be wastewater treatment that will be available to 3,700 consumers at some point. Another benefit, and this is an indirect benefit, is that that's 320 acres that will not be developed for residential purposes, but will remain in primarily agricultural use. Addressing the matters that were set forth in the various news articles, I again remind you that this particular project, whether it's located at the old site or the new site, is not being treated to a standard that is less than the 5. It is better than the 5 milligrams per liter. It is also going to result in two forms of disposal. It is not solely just ribs. It also includes a spray irrigation element. And lastly, I suppose, because I have some feel for planners having worked here once, is that there is a slap shot in this article where one of the gentlemen says that the problems with ribs is a result of bad planning, and I note that that's from the people who regulate ribs, and perhaps that comment is misplaced. Gentlemen, that would conclude our presentation, and we'll remain available to respond to any inquiries you have.
Thank you, Doug.
All right, gentlemen.
Yes.
Anyone here who wishes to comment in favor of the application? You see one hand in the rear. Come on up, sir.
Come on. Yep. Right. You can keep right. Yeah. Go ahead, Dan.
Oh, yeah. Signs got me.
We have one down.
Okay.
My name is Dan Kramer, 8041 Scott Store Road, Greenwood. I got about four questions.
Okay.
First, I want to know who paid for this rehearing.
Who paid for it? As yes. far as the advertisement?
Did the taxpayers pay for it, or did they repay for it?
Taxpayers.
Right. Now, the first public hearing was closed. Why then was there more public commentary taken?
Why was more taken?
Yes.
Why was it opened up again?
Why more comments, you mean?
Yes, because if you hadn't taken more public commentary, you wouldn't be reopening it, would you?
That's correct, sir.
So why was there? So does that mean then I can stand up here and demand that some public hearings that you've held 6 months ago that you're going to reopen them, or 2 weeks ago and you're going to reopen them because I don't like the way you brought it forward the first time?
Re-vote.
No, it doesn't, right?
Re-vote?
That's a possibility if the council thinks it's enough of a change that it warrants.
Where was the change?
Back up. They moved the lagoons from one side of 24 to the other.
Sure. But was that done after the fact or before the fact?
We don't know that. We're here tonight to find that out.
Well, I think that probably there was complaints about it, and they saw a way to make an improvement.
And there were concerns about notification issues and people not being aware.
Yeah, right. I guess they can't read, and they don't buy newspapers, and they don't see no notices. So, therefore, they can pitch an itch and decide that they want a new hearing, and you guys say, oh, yeah, we'll go ahead and allow you to do this.
We're just nice guys.
First of all. Huh? You just like to waste money, spend time, and who cares? And heck with the public. And as far as this system is concerned, nobody in his right mind ought to be opposed to it. Thank you.
Thank you, Dan. Yeah, we're going to lay you back, please.
Kind of blocked off on this right side.
This was Fort, huh?
I think it was Fort.
Good evening, Council. I'm Bonnie Benson. You have before you a couple of letters that I have submitted in conjunction with this conditional use application.
Yes, ma'am.
I have reviewed the revised site plan with counsel for Tidewater, and I want to just address a couple of the concerns that clients that I represent had. They were multiple in nature. One was notice, which we have mentioned previously. There was also concern about environmental impact regarding the wastewater treatment facility on underground water and air quality, and concerns about noise and traffic in the area. Many of the residents had ongoing dialogue with the applicant, and others met in a public forum, which was mentioned previously also by Mr. Schrader. It's the consensus of the residents that I represent that the proposed conditional use as amended concerning the revised site plan and the relocation of the lagoon and the facility to the opposite side of Route 24 is acceptable to my clients.
So the opposition is now in favor that you represent?
Yes.
Some of the opposition doesn't.
Some of the opposition. Yeah. Some of it. Chief favors.
Are there any other names?
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Okay, all those who wish to speak in opposition to the plan, can we have a show of hands first?
There's one more, I guess.
I'm sorry.
For it first.
There's one more in favor?
There's more for it.
All right. Okay.
I presume for it. I don't know.
Are you for Kevin?
Good evening, gentlemen. I'm Kevin Burdett, 26177 Deep Branch Road. Mr. Cole, I am not here this evening representing anybody. I have not been paid to be here. This is Kevin Burdett speaking. For the last decade, you five gentlemen have pushed to try to get people to advance plan. Mr. Cole, you've been a forerunner of that. And for once, you've had a company come in and try to do that. They have provided a proposed project that does a lot of things for long-range planning. They've made environmental advancements to removing the feed from any individual septic tanks that may be in the area, which again is something that we know the county has been striving to do. We know that the fees that are going to be cost that will be costing construction for replacement of individual septic tanks in the future is going to go up. We've seen that in DENREC's regulations today. We have good inkling of where DENREC is headed in their regulations with the new and improved high-tech equipment, and those cost of operations are going to be greater than what many people fathom today, and most likely what their user charges will be on a centralized system. This system, the way it's set up right along the inland bay, is going to create a positive freshwater recharge that does a number of things. One, protecting the inland bays. It's right there along Love Creek area. It will provide not only potable freshwater, less than 5 milligrams per liter, as you've heard tonight, going into Love Creek, but it will also deter Love Creek from ever having a saltwater wedge come back inland. That's something we need to be thinking about. I don't think there's any question that the water leaving this site is going to be far closer monitored than any individual septic system that's out there. Not only that, by its proximity and the regulations that exist today by the Department of Natural Resources, there's going to be monitoring wells around this site that are going to be regularly checked. And if this thing as much as hiccups, it's picked up in the monitoring wells and reported and fixed. And that's not a, well, gee, maybe they can fix it. That's a must. There's bonds posted in every public utility company that's operating, that DENREC holds, that makes sure that those repairs are done. It maintains, as I think I heard somebody say earlier, 320 acres along Route 24 in a basically agricultural state, which takes 640, if they use just the existing two dwelling units per acre, homes off of the Route 24 corridor. This cannot be a bad thing and has good signs of advanced planning. The relocation of the treatment plant that I heard about this evening and the back in the Lagoon A, I think makes a lot of sense. It addresses the local concerns of some residents and tends to improve the character of the neighborhood. I would anticipate substantial less odors ever coming from this plant than you would have from normal agricultural activities that may occur on that property. This does not affect any Sussex County sewer districts, that you all have determined. You were talking earlier about your Area 1s and Area 2s and their stipulations that they've talked about. They're not asking to come in any of your areas. So the only thing they're doing is saying, we want to put a plant here that's regional. Regional wastewater plants work far more effectively than every development having their own little plant. It just makes good common sense. This farm field with the spray irrigation does provide a good habitat, as Denrec has said, the wildlife preservers have said, for wildlife and the travel corridor. I would ask that you approve this conditional use tonight because it's the right thing to do. It's what you all have been telling people we want to do. And for an applicant to put money up, acquire the property, be here to do that, I think it would be a misjustice for you all not to end your decade of saying, think ahead, guys, and act responsibly.
Did you say they were eliminating septic systems?
I would say it offers the potential of eliminating septic,
right,
yes, sir.
Mr.
Cole, I don't know so.
It's all new construction, right?
However, I would have to assume that if I was a resident living adjacent to or within their CPCN area and my septic failed, and there seems to be a lot of failing septics down that way, that I would want the option.
Oh, right, if there is an option, okay.
Of being able to get in. Right. And even environmentally, like I say, with what Denrec's, you all have seen what they've put in their quote-unquote Inland Bay pollution control with where they want the high techs. A lot of people don't recognize what that is going to cost them year in and year out. Far more substantial than what I have seen for the rates quoted by the Public Service Commission. So I thank you all, and I hope you consider that in your making the decision tonight.
Thank you.
Yeah. Were there others in support, or have we? Okay.
He's opposition, right?
No, support.
Are you support, sir?
Yes.
Okay, I'm sorry. I apologize. Yeah. Come on down. Everybody jumped up at once. I didn't know.
I'm Robert John, and I'm representing Midway Baptist Church. You do have a letter there in front of you that Reverend Gary Hayden had sent. He's out of town. Based on some concerns that were raised last night, he had faxed this letter over today. However, our questions and concerns have been answered. We originally had approved the original plan, but based on the changes we had some concerns, but we are fine as things move forward. Just let you, I don't know if we need to withdraw the letter or just go on record as stated.
Your word's
good
enough.
You're the closest neighbor, right?
Yes. Yes, I believe so. To the actual spray ponds, and yes.
Absolutely. Thank you for your time, sir.
Anyone else in support? Sir?
Are you over there? Yeah, I'm going to talk over here.
Honorable members of the County Council, my name is Russell Marsh. My wife Suzanne is here. We and other members of the Marsh family are the landowners of 365 acres on which Tidewater Utilities will build a regional wastewater reclamation plant and disposal site. The treated water from the facility will be recycled as spray irrigation on feedstock crops on our land. Our family has been farming this land for seven generations since my great-great-grandfather John P. Marsh owned the property in 1796. As legacy farmers, we have chosen not to sell our land. Before we agreed to enter a lease with Tidewater, we thoroughly researched the method of tertiary treatment and the reclamation that the utility would be using. We are confident that the reclaimed water will be safe for crops and safe for the groundwater. We are confident that this project will be good for all parties. Despite all these benefits, the project has been delayed by people who have used misinformation for their own personal reasons. We have been disappointed and saddened by false statements about the project, but despite these attempts to smear the project, we remain confident that the members of this council will make their deliberations on facts, not opinions. We urge you to vote with your hearts, vote on the merits of the facts established by experts rather than the opinions of those with no expertise or no legal standing in the project. We will trust in your decision. Thank you.
Mr. Marsh, I know what the record said. I know it's been said tonight, but I just want to hear you say it for the tape. This is going to remain in farming. It's not going to be developed.
No, sir. It will remain in farming.
Okay. I just wanted you to, on the tape, hear you say that.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Can I start planting corn?
Yeah.
My name is Ed Justice. I reside at 32099 Justice Farm Road. I applaud the Marsh family. I call them the poster child of the new wastewater plan for the state of Delaware. I think the family has stepped up and offered their site as a good site for an example for the future of the wastewater in our state. We're not reinventing the wheel here in Delaware. There's already 24 permitted spray irrigation facilities in our state. And this is from the Wastewater Spray Irrigation Program annual analysis and report from DENREC. There's 3,069 acres currently permitted for spray irrigation. That's a 2.5% increase between the years 2006 and 2007. Currently in the state of Delaware, there's 2.5 billion gallons of treated water applied to our lands in the state. Permitted facilities that are considering expanding in our state are Allen's Hatchery, Angola Estates, Cool Branch, the Inland Bays, Piney Neck, the town of Georgetown, and Wolf Neck. Other municipalities that are considering spray irrigation are the towns of Delmar, Millsburg, Milton, and Rehoboth. I have the privilege to sit on a task force that was formed in this past legislative session in the state of Delaware, and it's House Concurrent Resolution number 67. And the charge of this resolution is exactly what we're seeing here today. And our charge is to submit legislation that will help preserve the groundwaters of the state of Delaware by allowing the use of farming community for the treated wastewater effluent, whose current standards are established by the Department of Natural Resources and Environmental Control. So we have had a series of meetings. We've been meeting once a month since June. We have one more meeting on Thursday. And there will be new legislation coming before the state of Delaware to allow the farmers that I represent as president of the Delaware Farm Bureau to be able to take this reclaimed water onto our farms. So this project, I applaud. It's ahead of its time. It's an excellent project, and it will reclaim the waters of the state of Delaware. And as Mr. Marsh stated, this is going to stay in agriculture. We're currently looking at farms in Newcastle County around Water Farm 1 and in the Middletown area that will use these same technologies to reclaim water. As president of the Delaware Farm Bureau, I have an opportunity to travel to other parts of the country, and my counterpart in the state of California, Doug Mossberg, I presented this project to Doug, and he was just ecstatic about that we were doing this in Delaware. In the state of California, they reclaim their water, and they'll use it 2, 3, 4 times because water is such a valuable asset. Well, water is a valuable asset also here in the state of Delaware. So let's not use it like a paper towel, use it once and throw it away. Let's reclaim the water and use it and save it for future generations. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Over here in the upper, I think we have.
Yes, ma'am.
Yep. Please come down. Thank you.
Either one. Okay.
I think they both work. Yes, ma'am.
Well,
yeah, you don't have to get real close.
My name is Betty Lee Carmine. Excuse me. And I live on 21338 Camp Arrowhead Road. As it happens, I'm also a next-door neighbor of the Marshes for going on 10 years. Prior to that, my husband and I managed Camp Arrowhead for 44 and a half years. Oh. So we're very familiar with that road and the traffic and so forth, which, you know, it's a whole new subject. The pipelines happen to be going practically in my backyard. I know they're safe. I know everything is safe because I trust the Marshes. And I feel like the time has come when people just can't go out and throw their waste anywhere they want to.
and everything is being developed in that area, which brings more people and which brings more use of their bathrooms and their water and everything else, do the dishes even. And I really feel that some kind of change needs to be made in this area. And, of course, I'm definitely against all this constant building in our area simply because I lived there when there was nothing but a few farmers, and that was farmers and us. I'm a little bit perturbed about all of that, and I know that's all part of living these days, that you have to put up with a lot of things that you probably never thought you would have to. But I think on behalf of myself and my husband, I really feel like that if the Marshes told me this is a good thing, then they have a good name in the community for hundreds of years, and I think that this is something that needs to be done as quickly as possible. And that's putting it in a nutshell. And I thank you for your attention.
Thank you for your time today, Mike.
Any other hands out there that I
can? I don't see any more. Okay. Is there any more in support?
Okay, show of hands for those who wish to speak in opposition. All right.
Three.
Okay. Whatever order you all can race up here.
We got one coming.
Got one on the race.
Keep right on coming.
Good evening, gentlemen. My name is Gregory Inskip. I'm a lawyer from Wilmington, Potter Anderson, and I'm here to represent the Ridings development. I have a letter that I'd like to have put in the record. May I hand it up?
Yeah, Mr. Burrow.
Mr. Burrow.
The letter also shows, reflects a copy to Mr. Esposito. I expected to hand it to him right now. Since he's not here, I have copies for Mr. Schrader and Mr. Patrick. The Ridings Development LLC is developing 75 lots of a 225-lot subdivision west of Beaver Dam Road. A condition of the county's approval of that subdivision plan was that an on-site wastewater treatment plant be built, and that is also what TESI's application for a certificate of public convenience and necessity says, that wastewater would be dealt with that way. If I may read from the letter, not to take up time, but just to give the council an opportunity to know where we're coming from in case there are any questions. Ridings relied on the representations in the subdivision plan and, in close consultation with Tidewater, financed and built the on-site plant at a cost of several million dollars in the expectation that Tidewater would operate the plant and that the cost thereof would be spread pro rata over all 225 lots in the development. Ultimately, Ridings took down only the first 75 lots of the development and did not purchase the remaining 150. And that relates to the litigation next door that Mr. Schrader referred to. The contract of sale provided that in that case, the seller would retain as liquidated damages money on deposit, which ended up to be $1.2 million, which has occurred. The seller has been made whole and still has 150 lots to sell. In fairness, each of those lots should tap into and pay their fair share for the community system that the seller represented to the county and Tidewater represented to the commission would serve all 225 lots in the development. Now, however, Tidewater seems to include the Ridings at Rehoboth in the area proposed to be served by the new regional facility at Wandendale. Ridings is concerned that if Tidewater's proposed regional facility is built, Tidewater may seek to bypass the on-site plant built by Ridings by connecting the remaining lots in the development to the Wandendale facility. Tidewater has refused to give Ridings assurances that it will use the on-site plant, as was always contemplated. This is not just a purely Ridings concern, gentlemen. Businesses and other members of the public ought to be able to rely on dispositions made by county subdivision plan approvals when deciding whether or not to make a major investment, such as the wastewater treatment plant at the Ridings at Rehoboth. Tidewater should not be allowed to serve the Ridings at Rehoboth from any location other than the on-site plant. Any conditional use for the Wandendale service area should exclude all 225 lots at the Ridings at Rehoboth development as a condition of such approval.
Question. Any questions, gentlemen?
So what you're saying is that as long as the Ridings is out of the deal, you're not opposed to it?
We have no dog in the hunt yet.
And as of right now, they are part of their service area for this regional?
As we understood the map and the initial application, yes.
Okay, yeah, okay, that like the blue area, right?
Yes, yeah. It's within that blue area. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's a public. I think that's a public. I do understand your concern that your client, there may be investment, and certainly the return is when the 150 lots get sold and that they pay to divvy up the impact fee or whatever they're going to pay. I do understand that.
Rick, could you explain to us any impact that what he's just stated on what we're doing here tonight? Do you see any connection? I'm trying to figure out what we.
Well, at first blush, my instinct is to say that you're here on land use issues, right. not the things that Mr. Inskip has mentioned here. And I don't know what power or influence the county has with respect to the CPCNs. Anyway, I the issues go far beyond what you're doing here in terms of the application, I think.
What do you see that we should be doing, sir?
Well, if I may, thank you. As I understand it, the applicant in the initial application, and perhaps in that map you gentlemen were just looking at, demarcated a county service area and a TESI service area, or Tidewater, and an express or implied condition of the approval they're asking for was that the new plant not encroach on areas expected to be served by county infrastructure.
Right. Well, Rick, is this application right dealing with that light blue area, that service area?
I don't know, George.
The mailing area.
Huh?
All I mean.
I think it's what the I think it's a, what any? They call it, the mailing area. If I'm not, I remember that statement for some reason. Where it's basically they send out letters and hope everybody comes in board on the blue area. If they don't, then that's. It's a wish list, from what I understand.
Right.
I'm just wondering if there's any connection between this application and these 300 and some acres and the this blue area that's on this map that is called the mailing area. Or something. Anyway,
Lawrence, is that blue map in the new book or the old one?
In this blue map. The blue map is in the new one. It's the blue area is the Tidewater mailing areas where they sent out mailings to get.
Yeah. But we're not putting any seal of approval on that, on their large area that they're going to service. That's not.
I don't looking think at that tree. This land use decision necessarily confirms or eliminates the C, who's included and who's not. I don't think that's a council decision.
Okay. Okay. That's what I'm trying to determine what our.
I think that, if I'm not mistaken, Lawrence, and you can ask that, the yellow part is people that have signed contracts with them?
According to the map, the TESI and CPCN service agreements or signed petitions is the areas in yellow.
And the TESI CPCN for the Ridings does not recite from which facility TESI will provide the service. But in the application, which is Exhibit B to what I have handed up. They represented it would be served by an on-site facility. As they represented to the, as the developer represented to this county as a condition of getting subdivision approval. So the county has authority to pass to some extent on these issues. Otherwise, I don't think the applicant would be accepting a condition that they not come serve county service areas with this new plan.
And your client right now is in the blue area, period.
Yes, it's in the blue area. It's west of Beaver Dam Road. And I believe, may I approach?
Sure.
Yeah, well, yeah, he's had his shots, don't worry.
I'm not scared of him.
He'll be out of here in a couple weeks.
Actually, it's the yellow area that's nearest, farthest north in the blue indicated service area. That's the development.
I think the key is,
Finley, is there any connection between some proposed service area that Tidewater is assuming they have granted to them by somebody, not us. We don't grant those, do we, right, Mike? We don't grant service areas, do we?
Public Service Commission.
For a specific CPCN for each individual parcel. Although there is a condition in the application that they have to submit a menu to the county, it's on an annual basis, perhaps, Mr.
Dennis, why don't you hang loose for a minute, okay?
I appreciate the time I've been given. The only final observation I'll make, unless there are any further questions, is that at some point the county has an interest in ensuring that the conditions of subdivision approvals that it has issued be kept. And this is one way to do that right now is say, fine, if it passes muster otherwise, you can serve new developments, but not one where there has already been built an on-site facility.
Okay. Got you.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much, sir. I think we had somebody. Yes. Yes, ma'am. We got two more. You're being briefed.
I'd love to hook into one of these things. I live right up in here.
Good evening.
Hi, my name is Maria Evans, and I live at 32578 Blizzard Lane in Lewis, Delaware. I initially was opposed to the wastewater treatment facility and retention lagoon off of Robinsonville Road because of the negative effect such a facility would have on my property value. When you can see a facility like that and you can smell it, I think we can all agree that it ain't making property values skyrocket. And while I'm happy that the new proposal moves that facility and lagoon farther away from my home, I still have concerns about this type of facility being used in eastern Sussex County. And I'm here to point out for the council all of my concerns for you to consider. Tidewater Utilities has assured me that the aquifer flows away from where I live, eliminating any likelihood that wells in our area would be contaminated. But today in the Cape Gazette, there's an article by Leah Honan called "Infiltration Beds May Pose a Health Hazard," that quotes Scott Andres from the Delaware Geological Survey, who's been studying rapid infiltration basins and spray irrigation systems, and he stated that, quote, "concentrating large amounts of water can change the flow of groundwater," unquote, meaning that rapid infiltration basins can actually change the direction that the aquifer is flowing. And additionally, he says that, quote, "some wastewater may be changing the chemistry of soil and releasing toxins such as arsenic that are natural to Delaware soils but may not normally flow with groundwater." Additionally, in the December 7th, 2008 UK Independent which was Sunday's edition, a study has been outlined that shows that, quote, half the male fish in British lowland rivers have been found to be developing eggs in their testes. In some stretches, all male roaches have been found to be changing sex in this way. Female hormones, largely from the contraceptive pills, which pass unaltered through sewage treatment, are partly responsible, while more than three-quarters of sewage works have been found to also be discharging, demasculizing man-made chemicals. Or, in essence, pharmaceuticals like hormones and other drugs that are currently not being addressed by Tidewater in their purification process. And may I repeat that, because I specifically asked Tidewater about this. Pharmaceuticals are not filtered out in their filtration process, are emasculating the male species. Or as Gwen Lyons, a former UK government advisor, stated, quote, this research shows that the basic male toolkit is under threat, unquote. And I'm sure that no one in this room wants to see the basic male toolkit threatened. The Cape Gazette article.
Especially up here. More so than most.
The Cape Gazette article also.
I knew there was something wrong with us up here. That's what the problem is.
Well, now, seriously, it may be a funny
thing. Glad I don't live in that area.
But it is something to
consider. I'm safe, Ryan.
If Tidewater would like to address whether or not pharmaceuticals are filtered out, I have asked them this question before. The Cape Gazette article, entitled Infiltration Beds May Pose a Health Hazard, also points out that these systems, rapid infiltration basins, were meant to be used in arid desert areas, where the water has to pass through hundreds of feet of soil before reaching groundwater. That is certainly not Angola. Simply stated, the system being proposed for the Angola area by Tidewater was never meant to be used near wetlands, by bodies of water, or at sea level. And there, Tidewater's wastewater treatment facility does not filter out pharmaceuticals like hormones, heart medications, or even what the local drug addict is taking. Please carefully consider what you're about to do. This decision can affect future generations, and I'm not just talking about high-density development. Thank you.
It seems to me that we don't have the expertise to look into any of that, obviously.
But
DNREC does, and the problem is that state agency is supposed to be looking out for all of our health, you know, safety and welfare and all that stuff. I don't believe we've seen anything from them that states that there's these issues that you're concerned about. So,
well, I did bring the Cape Gazette article, and I'm sure that you would all have
DEMREC. Does DEMREC require that type of treatment in the plant?
No one requires that pharmaceuticals be taken out of wastewater. That does not necessarily mean that it is safe.
It's right or wrong. You know, I agree with you.
The EPA allowed asbestos in children's pajamas, and we all realized that that was a huge mistake years down the road. This is something I feel the council has to seriously consider. I have brought with me the article from The Independent. It tells you where you can find the study on the fact that pharmaceuticals in treated wastewater are emasculating the male species.
Okay. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
We have one more to the left here. Yeah.
I think she's talking about it.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening. My name is John Townsley. I reside at 22519 Woods Court, Lewis, Delaware. To forego some of the other issues and being repetitive, one thing I would like to point out is that in August, we had a voter referendum which defined the Angola Neck Sewer District, most of which basically covers the treatment facility, the lagoons in that area. It falls within the county sewer district, and as such, if it were developed, would have to be in the county sewer system. So I guess one of the questions is this replacing the county sewer system?
Yeah.
Or if it is not?
I think probably in part agreement, Mike, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, is that said that even though the treatment's on that side and it's in, that they cannot, the part of the conditions is that they cannot hook anybody in our sewer district. As far as
correct.
Is that correct?
And the site is not actually in the sewer, it's in the planning area, it's not in the sewer district.
The sewer district is south of 24 and bounded by
that's where the boundary line, that's where the boundary line is. Is that correct, Mike? If I'm not mistaken, the 24 is a cutoff, for lack of a better word.
Yeah, south of 24 and Camp Arrowhead and Angola on both sides. Is that correct?
Right, correct.
So there is a section of this that is.
Yeah, if you.
Okay. Secondly.
For lack of a better word, sir, the pink is ours and the blue is theirs.
Yeah, that's their service area.
That's what their mailing area.
But they are in the.
Plant is in the.
The other part is that I heard this issue on the proportional parts. There's roughly, if there's 300 gallons of wastewater for an EDU, there's roughly in excess of 1 million gallons per day of wastewater being sprayed on this area, let alone the rapid infiltration bays, which again raise the question of health and safety issues. And I think that needs to be looked at. You can talk about the percent, but when you apply it to the volume, there's a considerable.
They are controlled by DEMRAC. They can control
so
many inches.
Yeah, that volume is in excess of what you would get out of a normal home. The last part, which everybody keeps saying is so safe, and I will submit this to you. There's this nice little sign out here on a spray field that says, recycled water system, avoid contact. I think that warning says enough about the safety issues associated with the spray irrigation system.
Yeah, I think, if I'm not mistaken, the county has all those particular two ones, too. Yes, sir. Is that correct, Mike? Is that because our spray fields have signs or none?
No, we don't erect any signs.
Okay. I apologize. I lied.
Anyone else? Sir.
Got one more in the back.
Signs violated the sign ordinance, but took them all down.
Good evening.
Evening. My name is Thomas Head, Jr. I reside at 21176 Robinsonville Road, and I have more of a question than a...
Yeah, a comment?
Yeah, does this meeting mean that the system, the pond will have to go on the south side of 24? And can
you, see
no
that blue,
longer,
you see that blue spot right there, sir?
Yes.
That is where the pond's going.
New location.
So it can no longer go between Robinsonville Road and 24. It now has to go.
But they're
go
presenting to us right here. Okay. We have a couple pieces of paper up here that has conditions, which that moves the treatment building you see in the red. Isn't that right, Frank?
Yes.
And the pond, the coon pond, or the storage pond is right there.
Those
and moving it
here
from over there.
Okay.
And that is presented to us, and that is in the record.
So it can no longer go between the two roads. It has to go there.
That's where it's got to go.
Okay.
Correct. Next, if they try to move it, they got to come back one more time. You can come back and tell us about
okay
it.
Thank okay. Thank you. That was my question.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Any others? Not seeing any, Mr. President, that would appear to conclude the public hearing.
Okay. Do you have any other yes, no's, in betweens?
No, I think a lot of people, Mr. President, wanted, you know, are putting these safety concerns to us, and we're not the body for that. That would be DNREC. And is there any kind of public hearing that's when they go for these permits? Rick, do they offer them, or can you request them? I guess if you because we
I mean
don't
I know
have,
they have to apply for a permit. Bruce,
we don't have the ability to make these judgment calls on safety. We just do not have the expertise. We rely on DNREC, and we don't have anything in the record from DNREC that says there's any health-associated problem. So that's the dilemma.
Can you answer that, Bruce? Yeah?
Do you want to bring it up?
To clarify the question, I mean, the question, as I understand it, are there other opportunities
for the public to speak?
Certainly through the DENREC's process, as you file for permits, if there's a warranted reason, DENREC certainly has a right to hold a public hearing if it's deemed that it's warranted.
Okay. So, wait, and Bruce, just could you give us your name and all that good stuff?
Sure. Bruce Patrick, Vice President of Engineering with Tidewater Environmental Services.
So when you course, certainly you have somewhat a preliminary design, I assume, and then of course, you come for land use issues, then you go back up them for final design. Is that pretty much it? And then it goes to the county and to all that?
Essentially, yes.
Is that pretty much it? And when it goes up there is a permit that they have to give you,
Yes.
If our engineering department signs off and everybody's happy, is that the bottom line?
Yes, sir.
And do you have any permits at this time?
We do not have any Denrek construction permits for this facility.
So you will be applying for permits?
Sure, yes.
And then you're saying the public then has an opportunity to request from DNREC for hearings?
And anytime anyone applies for a permit such as this, I mean, it's actually
I know they do with, like, wetlands and docks and piers, and I'm assuming they do with this, too.
It's advertised.
Wells, right, all that stuff.
All that kind of junk.
Okay, all right.
Okay, any other questions of council?
In the back.
Oh.
Boy, just in under the wire.
Oh, get ready. Drop the hammer on you.
If it was a man, we wouldn't have recognized it, but since it's a... After that last
comment, that lady wished upon us. Where is she?
My name is Angela Millman. I live at 20998 Robinsonville Road. And I would like to ask more about... Supposedly, they're going to be spraying that stretch where they had originally planned to put the...
On the opposite side of 24?
Right.
Or by Robson? Frank, you want to jump up again, please?
Okay.
Are you talking that area there?
Yes, they're going to be spraying it with the...
Somewhere down the line, as I assume that they're doing Frank, you can correct me if you want to... You're going to do the beds first with the lagoon, is that correct?
Over here, yes. They would spray in the trees. They would additionally spray in the farm field, but there's a 200-foot wide strip that's reserved by the farmer for his use right along the road there.
Right, and that area is going to be sprayed with this water?
Yes.
Right.
Okay, and my concern is the buffer. It's supposed to be a 50-foot buffer.
Correct.
And my daughter lives right next to that road, and there's not that much area, and we have a grandchild who is a disabled child, and I'm concerned about if you're not supposed to be in that area, and that's not a very large buffer area. Is there something that could be addressed to that?
Other than telling your daughter to put up a fence, maybe, but I mean, I'm not being smart either.
Infiltration you're talking about with the water.
Are you talking about the beds, or are you talking about spray? You're talking about spray irrigation.
Because as far as I'm concerned, even though that water is being treated, it's still not potable water. It's still not safe for humans to be around, just as the gentleman
said. I don't know.
Said.
I know secondary treatment. I don't know if, Frank, are you doing secondary, or Bruce, you doing secondary treatment on this? Or is it, I know the Demrak, again, we're getting into a point that we're not...
This actually is treated to public access standards, so, I mean, you could spray it on a golf course.
Basically harmless water.
Yes.
They use the same type of water on golf courses, ma'am, in Sussex County?
It was my understanding that it was to be sprayed on stock crop, which would be used for feed for animals.
There's certain things that they can do to take the nutrients and phosphates out that certain crops. And I'm not a farmer, but, you know, hay and corn, I think, are two of the biggies, that, if I'm not mistaken, that are planted. I know we use some of those in our spray fields that we do for the county.
Right.
That do
can grow produce on it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you're not going to do apple.
In other words, that water could be sprayed on vegetables that...
No,
it's still not safe enough to do that.
It's not. I'm not sure.
Not edible crops.
They don't permit it, whether it's safe or not.
I don't know if they
just
permit.
Don't permit it.
They don't permit it. Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, ma'am, thank you. All right, let's close the public hearing, please. I don't think there's anything else. I don't want to make sure. Everybody cool? Okay.
I'm not
going to
ask anymore.
Yep.
You put their hands.
Going over the stipulation?
Yeah, Lawrence, have you got a copy of the stipulation that we have been presenting tonight?
I didn't read it into the record earlier, but the recommendation of the commission, and then the applicants also provided revised findings of fact and revised condition of approval based on their revised booklet.
And you did read the revised ones in? You have to read the revised ones
I
in?
I did not read what the commission recommended when we started the public hearing.
Well, why don't you read
it? It was read into the record though before, wasn't it?
What is different?
No,
what is different between the two? Right at this point.
I mean, in our public hearing, the first public hearing we had, wasn't it read in then?
No, because your public hearing was held on the 22nd of July, and the commission acted on it on August 28th.
Okay. and you need to read them, I presume?
Yes.
For the record, on August 28th of 2008, the commission discussed this application under old business. Mr. Johnson stated he would move that the commission recommend approval of conditional use 1792 for Tidewater Environmental Services Incorporated for a regional wastewater collection, treatment, and disposal facility to be located on several parcels in the Indian River 100 based upon a record and for the following reasons. One, the proposed use is generally of a public or semi-public character and is essential and desirable for the general convenience and welfare of neighboring properties in the county. Two, the regional facility will be designed to minimize environmental impacts. Minimum 100-foot buffers will be provided from all wetland areas. Minimum tree removal is being proposed. The current land uses of agriculture and forestry will be supported by the proposed irrigation plans. Three, the proposed facility will reduce the level of nutrients entering the inland bays, recharge the aquifer, be available to replace failing septic systems in its service area, and preserve agricultural areas, open space, and forest land. Four, the proposed regional wastewater collection, treatment, and disposal facility will be reviewed and approved by DENREC, shall be designed and construction in accordance with all other federal, state, and county requirements, including those mandated by DENREC and other agencies having jurisdiction over the use. The proposed use is subject to the review and approval of the Public Service Commission. The County Engineering Department has no objections to this application, subject to the inclusion of the following conditions. A, all improvements for collection, treatment, and disposal of sanitary waste shall be constructed and maintained in accordance with the requirements of the County Engineering Department, if any, or the Delaware Department of Natural Resources and Environmental Control, and any other governmental agency with jurisdiction over the use of the site or any modification thereto. B, the applicant shall provide to the County Engineering Department a regional plan that shows all the areas and or subdivisions to be served by the wastewater treatment and disposal facility. Said plan shall include technical support that demonstrates that capacity exists at the treatment and disposal facility to serve the areas and or subdivisions. C, the facility shall not receive sanitary waste for treatment and disposal from any property or parcel that is located within a county sewer planning area or sewer district, excepting therefrom those properties or parcels which are currently being served by other Tidewater Environmental Services Incorporated treatment and disposal facilities or approved for service as evidenced by CPCN being a certificate of public convenience and necessity, being issued by the Public Service Commission on or before the adoption of this conditional use ordinance. D, the final site plan shall be subject to review and approval by the Planning and Zoning Commission. And seven, additional conditions as part of the recommendation include, one, the treatment plant building shall appear to be an agricultural building. Two, with the exception of emergency generators that may be located on the site, all of the equipment needed in the operation of the facility shall be located indoors. The generators shall be housed in enclosures to reduce noise. Three, any security lighting shall be screened so that it does not shine onto neighboring properties or public roads. Four, a minimum 50-foot buffer will be maintained around all spray irrigation areas. Five, a minimum 50-foot forested buffer will be maintained around the Midway Baptist Church and any adjoining residential properties. Six, a minimum 50-foot forested buffer will be provided between all facilities and agricultural operations. Seven, this regional facility shall make its services available for any failing septic system in its proposed service area. Eight, any lagoons, rapid infiltration basins, spray irrigation systems, or similar structures shall be located at least 100 feet from any dwellings. Nine, one lighted sign referencing the use shall be permitted on the site containing the treatment buildings, not to exceed 32 square feet in size. Unlighted signs not to exceed 32 square feet in size shall be permitted on other parcels that are part of this application. 10, the perimeter fencing will be visually screened from neighboring properties and roads to the use of native species trees And 11, the final site plan shall include a landscaping plan to include all proposed buffers. There was a motion, a second, carried unanimously to forward this application to council with a recommendation that this application be approved for the reasons and with the conditions stipulation stated. And that motion carried 5-0.
Okay, and that's off the original public hearing that, and the information we got from prior to this one right here.
And it was based on the original application.
Correct. And you have a copy of the revised conditions?
The revised conditions are proposed by the applicant.
Yes.
Which are in tab, the fifth tab.
Five.
In the booklet before you.
Right. Would you like to?
Would I like to?
I guess maybe.
You might get tired of hearing me read.
Could you? Yeah. How's that, Lord?
Okay. The applicant has proposed these finding of facts. This application is made by Tidewater Environmental Services Incorporated pursuant to Sussex County Code 115-22 as a conditional use for a regional wastewater collection treatment and disposal facility to be located on several parcels of land in Indian River 100. Two, the subject property is owned by Wandendale Farms Incorporated and is leased to the applicant under a long-term lease dated September 14, 2007. Three, Tidewater Environmental Services Incorporated has agreed with the Wandendale Farms Incorporated to occupy and use parcels of land located in Indian River 100 identified on tax maps of the Sussex County Department of Finance as tax map number 234-1148, containing 48.53 acres plus or minus, tax map number 23411, parcel 50, containing a 147.74 acres plus or minus, tax map number 2347, parcel 127, parcel containing 29.17 acres plus or minus, and tax map 2347, parcel 130, containing 94.77 acres plus or minus. Four, the sites are presently used for agricultural purposes or are wooded. Five, the proposed conditional uses for this facility is to be available regionally to serve projects and customers within its certificated areas as may be required by the Public Service Commission or who otherwise become interested in connection. Six, Tidewater Environmental Services Incorporated has applied for and or acquired certificates of public convenience and necessity to serve several certificated parcels in the region and has or will have its tariffs approved by the Public Service Commission. Seven, concerns raised by adjoining property owners, including the fire company and residential developments, as to the location of the lagoon and treatment facilities such as traffic noise, odor, etc., can be addressed by relocating these facilities to the east of Route 24. Eight, this application is appropriate at the subject sites because it is in an area of development where regionalized wastewater treatment is not otherwise available to all properties or projects. Nine, the granting of this application will provide a regionalized wastewater collection, treatment, and disposal facility that will safely serve the communities and will not harm the environment. Ten, the conditional use requested will promote the health and safety of the inhabitants of Sussex County and the nearby properties, projects that have been or will be approved for development. 11, the proposed application conforms to the comprehensive land use plan in that one, the regional wastewater facility will reduce the level of nutrients entering the inland base. Two, the regional wastewater facility will recharge the aquifer. Three, the regional wastewater facility will cause no harm to area wells. Four, the regional wastewater facility will reduce aquifer withdrawal. Five, the regional wastewater facility will be available to replace failing septic systems in its service areas. Six, the regional wastewater facility preserves agricultural uses in the area. And seven, the regional wastewater facility will preserve open space and forest land. Number 12, subject to the attached conditions, these regional facilities will not conflict with any proposed Sussex County service or planning areas. And then we have two pages of conditions. Can I take a drink first?
Absolutely. Take your time, Lord.
Condition of approval recommended by the applicant. All improvements for collection, treatment, and disposal of sanitary waste shall be constructed and maintained in accordance with the requirements of the Sussex County Engineering Department, if any, or the Delaware Department of Natural Resources and Environmental Control, and any other governmental agency with jurisdiction over the use of the site or any modification thereto. Two, the applicant shall submit to the Sussex County Engineering Department a regional plan that shows all the areas and or subdivisions to be served by the wastewater treatment and disposal facility. Said plan shall include technical support that demonstrates that capacity exists at the treatment and disposal facility to serve the areas and or subdivisions. Three, the facility shall not receive sanitary waste for treatment and disposal from any property or parcel that is located within a Sussex County sewer planning area or sewer district, excepting therefrom those properties or parcels which are currently being served by other Tidewater Environmental Services Incorporated treatment and disposal facilities or approved for service as evidenced by CPCN being issued by the Public Service Commission on or before the adoption of this conditional use ordinance. Four, the final site plan shall be subject to review and approval by the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission. Five, additional conditions include A, irrigation lagoon A, the lagoon pumping station, the headworks building, the control building, the biological treatment tanks, and the emergency generator shall be located to the east of Rapid Infiltration Basin Area A on Sussex County Tax Map Number 234-1150. The vacated area on Tax Map Parcel Number 234-11, Parcel 48, may be used as a spray area. B, the building shall appear to be agricultural buildings with the exception of emergency generators, holding and treatment tanks that may be located on the site, and all other equipment needed in the operation of the facility shall be located indoors. The generator shall be housed in enclosures to reduce noise. C, any security lighting shall be screened so that it does not shine onto neighboring properties or public roads. D, minimum 50-foot unforested buffer will be maintained around all spray irrigation areas. E, a minimum 50-foot forested buffer will be maintained around the Midway Baptist Church. F, this regional facility shall make its services available for any failing septic system in its proposed service areas. G, any lagoons, rapid infiltration basins, spray irrigation systems, or similar structures shall be located at least 50 feet from any dwelling. H, one lighted sign shall be permitted on the site containing the treatment building, not to exceed 32 square feet in size. Unlighted signs not to exceed 32 square feet in size shall be permitted on other parcels that are part of this application. I, perimeter fencing around the control building, headworks building, lagoon pumping station, treatment and holding tanks, irrigation lagoons A and B, and rapid infiltration bed areas A and B will be visibly screened from neighboring properties and roads through the use of native species trees. And J, the final site plan shall include a landscaping plan to include all proposed buffers. Period.
Thank you, Lawrence.
You're welcome.
Rick, I got this one quick. Yeah. The P&Z Commission gave us one set, which has been read in. We can adopt either or, I guess, but we got presented today for the this particular facts and finding and conditions in front of us now, right? These are ones we
got a set from P&Z and a new set,
right? They're presented by the applicant.
All right, and okay. Your question is,
being both of them red? Yeah, I mean, if we accept, we have to accept one or the other. That's correct. Is that the
they were different conditions, though, weren't they?
Yes, they did.
Then we accept all of them.
Well, that's why
we were trying to follow them. I don't think any conflicted, but there were a couple that I don't think got restated.
Right. Because I think the main issue is certainly the relocation of the lagoons, and which is stated within the conditions of these new conditions.
And I recall one that reduced distance from 100 feet to 50 feet. So there's some difference between the two of them. I think you're going to have to pick one or the other.
Right, okay. That's cool. Just want to make sure. Okay. Any questions?
Some of the conditions revised by the applicant covers the issues related to the difference in the original application versus the application discussed tonight.
Right, okay.
Typically number A, which is a reference to irrigation lagoon A.
Okay. We closed the public hearing.
We did.
Okay, that's cool. Gentlemen, what's your pleasure? Read it?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, could you read the title next, please?
This is conditional use 1792, the application of Tidewater Environmental Services, Inc. to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a regional wastewater collection, treatment, and disposal facility to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Indian River 100, Sussex County, containing 320.21 acres, more or less, lying on both sides of Route 24, the Williams Highway, southeast of 277, Robinsonville Road, both sides of 298, Jolens Way, and both sides of Road 279, Camp Arrowhead Road.
Question?
Yes.
Are we adopting these conditions that...
was presented for us tonight?
That was presented tonight, and the previous conditions that Mr. Lank read, which was...
I think Mr. Barr said that it's either one or we can modify the ones in front of us.
Okay.
Which is presented tonight. Or if you're happy with these conditions and the findings and conditions.
Well, the conditions tonight included the moving the
right.
The ponds.
Correct.
So that will operation.
The location ponds and the treatment facility.
Okay.
Everything but future spray.
What's he saying?
Everything's getting moved except for future spray.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
So you're okay with the ones they presented tonight covers everything that we need in there as far as the... from the first one, it's in the second one here.
Talking to me?
Yes, I'm asking
it pretty much goes, they're similar. They're not exactly the same, because it is some number changes, like reference 100 feet to 50 foot.
Right. Yeah, okay. Right. With that, I'll make a motion. We approve CU 1792 with the...
12 reasons or facts and...
Yes, with the five...
They keep going ABCs on us. And,
yeah, with the... five conditions, and then A through J.
Okay. Second, gentlemen?
Second.
We moved to second that we approve conditional use 1792 with the facts presented, which is tonight, which is 12, and then the conditions, which is 1 through 5, and then A through J. I think I got that right. Mr. Cole?
With the conditions... that we've just heard and have been read into the record by Mr. Lank. And I guess with the demand for, you know, development pressures in that area, and I guess if we're going to have all this development, there is arguments being made that a bunch of small facilities wouldn't be as appropriate as maybe one larger facility. And finding that there's no negative concerns from our agencies, other than that development office feels that this will encourage more development in the agricultural district and encourage more loss of farmland. This farm may be saved, but there will be others probably lost because of this. But that's another day, I guess, another argument to deal with the zoning in the agricultural district. But I think I'll support this proposal.
Okay, your vote is yes. Mr. Phillips?
As Mr. Kramer said, it is unusual for us to revisit an application once the public hearings have been closed, but in light of the concern of the community, I think it was appropriate in this case to reconsider the configuration primarily of this application, and it was good to see a reconfiguration which was more acceptable to the community. In light of that and the conditions, I vote yes.
Mr. Duke?
I think by opening the public hearing back up tonight and discussing it again, they made a much better application. It got it over on the other side where it was much better. And with the 320 acres that remain in farmland, with the stipulations, my vote is yes.
Mr. Rogers?
I think that, as we talked earlier tonight, that every case is judged on its own merits. And tonight is a great example that everything is specifically unique in its own character. And with the persistence of the neighborhood, we did open the public record back up in this case. And the majority of the surrounding neighbors have had all their issues addressed by the presentation of the legal counsel here this evening, and also coming up individually, I think questions have been asked. I believe it's crucial to be proactive in sewer planning and today to prepare for tomorrow, especially in this area. DNRAC wants to see everywhere possible to alleviate on-site individual septics. They constantly come in here and show us a map with red dots on it where they do try to remove them to get central sewer, and this is a way to do that. The DNRAC regulation process is brutal, as the utility companies know, and they will require the utility company to meet the highest standards in this nation when it comes to wastewater treatment and the distribution of it on the ground. Public health is a priority when one is treating wastewater and the distribution of it. As stated by this body, it's not our authority to say who or who will not be required to hook up or who this utility will serve, but I hope that with the representation of legal counsel from the writings from the gentleman from Wilmington, that Tidewater and the writings can get together and work out their differences in them. And I think that Tidewater, prior to this evening, and one of the reasons we opened back up meeting with the public, they did show good faith with the public with their concerns to relocate this, and I hope they can work it out with the writings. The Willows, again, through legal counsel and the public process, had their concerns addressed tonight. The new location of this plant will assure that there's going to be hundreds of acres of open space and to remain in perpetuity for a long time, and a family continue on their heritage of the farming in this area. In closing, the Marie Evans comments, a concern that DNRAC, I'm sure, will make sure this utility addresses all these, or this plant just won't be built. With that said, my vote would be yes with the conditions imposed.
Thank you, Mr. Rogers. I think I'm going to cut my issue. My vote is yes. I think, like I said, by having the public hearing opened up, I think we listen to the concerns of the community. I think we've addressed all those, and this motion is passed. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Rogers.
Standard approval.
We'll give everybody just a second to regroup, and then we'll go into Superior Design, Rich Collins Special.
This was a bait and switch. Jim just told me that was one public hearing, and I just go, no, he's sitting there. Oh, by the way, there's one more.